My grandfather, both my grandfathers were some of my best friends. And I remember about 24, 25 years ago when I got a phone call at work that my grandfather had passed away. And so I caught the next flight to Texas that I could get and flew to my grandparents' house and got there late at night. It was late in the evening. And I thought my granddad would live to be 100 years old. He was my hero, and I thought I'd have the blessing of caring for him in old age. But the Lord saw fit to take him on earlier than what I thought that he would take him on. My grandmother had been the sick one and had been told by doctors that she had about 6 months to live, and so I was much surprised when the Lord took my grandfather before my grandmother. When I arrived at their home that night, late at night, visited a little while with my grandmother. We all went to bed. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I walked past the living room and I saw my grandmother there with her Bible. And she was thumbing through the pages. They were going back and forth. She had had a stroke and it was real hard for her to process things to be able to speak or write. But she was thumbing through the pages, and I watched her as she thumbed through the pages. That day, she had lost her husband of 67 years. And she landed on a portion of Scripture, and I watched her from behind over her shoulder. And she, with her finger, read these verses. And then she took a pencil, and with a shaky hand, she circled the text that meant so much to her. She didn't know I was watching. Next morning, I couldn't wait to see what those verses were that she was looking for that meant so much to her. Brother Asa preached on this a while back, and it did me a world of good. He mentioned some of these verses, and it just helped me a whole lot. It was Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 through 11 that she had actually marked in her Bible. And it's a blessing to read those verses because it reminds us and it puts everything in perspective. It serves as a reminder again that God has some bounds, that God sets some things in place, that sometimes we think that things are going to continue like they've always been, and that they're not going to change, and we'll see that change comes in our life. And it talks to us about that there is a season and there is a time for everything in this life. We mark everything by time. I checked my watch before I started, and I made sure that it was wound up and that it wasn't going to stop while I'm up here. And we mark everything by time, by our life. We look at the calendars. We mark our life by the number of years that we live, and we mark everything by time. The first two chapters, you can go home and read. We'll touch on a few of the points, but it helps us to know the secret of life. What is it that we're looking for? What is it that we're hoping to find in life? What is it that we're hoping to pursue? What is it that's going to bring us happiness? That's going to bring us satisfaction? That's going to bring us joy here in this life? Three of the things that it teaches us in chapter 1 and 2 is that, I'm just going to tell you the rest of the story. Our time is brief, and so I'll tell you the rest of the story. It tells us that we're to be content with the present things of this life. We're to be cheerful with the circumstances that we have here in this life. And we're to be thankful for where we are in this life. We have a tendency, and Satan would have us to to think that we should either live in the future or we should live in the past. And it's an error on both sides if we do that. Because the past has already come and gone. And we can live in the past to the point that we're of really no good right now if we're living in the past. If we think that all of the blessings of God are in the past, with past generations, with past ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, then we're missing the mark on that. There's a blessing for thinking on the past and the blessings that God has given us upon the past, but we shouldn't live in the past. I think one of our greatest modern day examples of that is Sister Perry. If anybody could live in the past, Sister Perry could, because she's got almost 99 years of past blessings. But she doesn't live in the past. She doesn't live in the future. I mean, how far out do you look in the future if you're 99 years old? Sister Perry lives for right now. And that's one of the lessons that Solomon teaches us right here in Ecclesiastes, is that don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. You live for right now. Today. You live for the children that God's given you today. Don't live in the future and think, one of these days, I'm going to get it all figured out. They're going to get it all figured out and everything will be right. No, live in right now. And be thankful and content with what God has blessed you with right now. We have a tendency that we might think, well, my life will be so much better in the future if I can attain this status or this level or this position. Or if I have this much money in my IRA or in my retirement account. And what he's saying right here, and he teaches us in two full chapters, is don't live in the future, but live right now. Solomon says, I spent a whole lot of my life living in the future. He says, don't live in the past, don't live in the future. He says, in fact, it will briefly read through in chapters 1 and 2. He says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to its place where it arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and it turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, and the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. All things are full of labor, and men cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Isn't that the case? As soon as our eye is open, we want to look around and see all that we can see. As soon as we wake up and our ears are perked up, we want to hear all that we can hear. He says, is there anything? He says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. He says, the sun's going to come up, it's going to go down. He said, the rivers are going to run, and he says, they're going to run into the ocean, and it's not going to overflow the ocean. God has that in his hands. God is in charge of that. The winds are going to blow, and they're going to continue, and they're going to whirl around. And it's going to continue on in its circuits. He says, there's nothing new that is under the sun. And then Solomon says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. There's some things that we can't fix. There's some things that we can't straighten out. There's some things that we can't solve. God certainly can if He chooses and desires to. He says, I said in my heart now, I will prove thee with mirth and therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to acquaint myself unto wine, yet to give myself unto wine, acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, that I might see that the good of the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. He says, I made me great works, and I builded me great houses. I planted me vineyards. He said, I thought that's where I was going to find it. I thought I could go and I could build big houses. I thought I could plant vineyards. I thought I could do great works. He says, in fact, I thought I could plant some big gardens, some big orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit. He says, I made me pools of water therewith to the wood that bringeth forth from the trees. He says, I even had servants. I had maidens. He says, I had servants that were born into my house. He said, I had great possessions, small and great. He says, I had cattle above them all. He says, I even had gold. I had silver. And he says, I thought that that's where I was going to find it. He says, I was increased more than all before me in Jerusalem. And he says in verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not back from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of labor. You ever known anybody like that? You look at some of these folks that play sports. Or you look at some of the movie stars, the actors and the actresses that make tons of money. And you would think that they would be able to find happiness if you could truly buy happiness. But some of them live such a miserable life that when they've had their fill of it, and they hate life, they even end up taking their own life. Solomon says, I went after it because I thought that's where I'd find it. He said, I thought I would find it in what I had done. Rather than realize that what we have is not what we've done, but it's a gift and blessing from God. If you have health, it's a blessing from the Lord. If you have wealth, if God's blessed you to have a nest egg that's going to take care of you, when you get to old age, my aunt is almost 80 years old, and we were blessed to spend Christmas with her, and it was a real blessing. By the way, she came from Oklahoma City area, and she said, I asked my son, who takes care of her finances, am I gonna have enough money to last me as long as I live? And he said, no, Mom, you don't. But he said, you've got me. You may have a nest egg that's going to last you as long as you live. But if you have that nest egg, it's because God gave it to you. It's because God gave you the ability to work. It's because God gave you the desire to work. It's because God gave you the discernment not to spend it all in one place or another. Solomon said, if there's something that I saw and I wanted it, I got it. He said, I thought that's where it was at. But he said, I had to wake up an old man before I found that that's not where it's at. I think I've mentioned to you before, one of the common things that most people that live to be 100 years of age and older have in common is that they learned early on to be content with what they had. Old people learn that, and they learned it in their youth oftentimes. Many of them went through the Depression era. Solomon said, I thought that if I saw it and I wanted it, I thought that's what would make me happy. In fact, if you go through and you read the first and second chapter, he talks about what I did. All the things that he accomplished with his labor. He says, I labored. I don't doubt that he was a hard worker. He says, in fact, you look at chapters 1 and 2, he says, I labored, I labored, I labored. He says, if I saw it, I wanted it, I got it. And he says, I labored. And he says, I thought that's where I would find it. You've known some folks that God blessed to find the secret of life. And that is to be content and rejoice in what God has blessed them with. That's one of the things that Sister Laura had. She had a rough life. Many of you here know about that. But Sister Laura rejoiced in and rejoices in what God's given her today. She's been blessed with some special gifts, mighty special. I hope the Lord passes them on down to some of the rest of us. But she's been able to use her life to try to encourage other people. And she wanted to always leave you with a smile. She always wanted to kind of make you feel like you were special. God blessed her with some of the blessings and secrets of life. To everything, there is a season. Now, you may interpret that one way. I may interpret it another. We understand by the example of the seasons that we have that in Texas, everything went together. There was not a spring, summer, fall, winter. You just didn't have that. Brother Daniel can relate to it. Everything just kind of stays the same. You don't really notice a change. Up here, you can notice that you can almost mark it on the calendar when spring happens. You can almost mark it on the calendar without looking at when summer starts. You can almost mark it on the calendar when summer starts. And you can almost mark it on the calendar when fall starts and winter starts. But he starts out and he says, to everything there is a season. He says, to life itself, there's a season. He says, there is a time to every purpose unto heaven. God either ordains and directs directly everything under heaven, or God uses instruments to direct His will under heaven, or God directly allows things unto heaven. But God is in charge completely, 100%. Whether He is directing it, whether He is using His people, or whether He is restraining His grace for some sovereign reason. He says, to everything there is a season, to every time, and to every purpose unto heaven. He said, there's a time to be born. Brother Compton said his interpretation of this was the time to be born was when a mother carries the child. Generally, it's about 9 months. That's the way that God has designed it. That just about at the time of that fulfillment, there's a birth that's going to take place. You don't see a mother go 13 months. You don't see her just continue on indefinitely. Within that time frame, there's just about a time that an individual's to be born. There's a time to die. Some folks interpret it, if you're convinced that there is a specific set second that you're to die, I certainly won't argue with that. I believe that we can shorten our lives. I believe that if we treat our bodies, unlike the way God has designed, God may spare our life. He might, but it might be an awful, miserable existence that he does. I also believe that, and I don't understand the mind of God, I don't claim to understand the mind of God, but there's at least one example that we have in the Scriptures where a man was sick unto death. Not all sickness is unto death, but a man was sick unto death, and prayer was made, and it says that God extended that man's life by 15 years. Now, I believe that God can extend our life if He so desires. If God chooses to do that, if it's to His glory and to His praise. Elder Compton said a time to die was when our body was no longer able to sustain life. A time to be born, a time to die. There's a time to plant. It doesn't necessarily mean that you always have to plant on March 15th or April 1st. But you do generally always plant in the spring. You rarely see folks that are out planting in the fall. Vegetables or a crop like that. You might plant a fall wheat or something like that. But generally, if you're going to plant a garden, you don't go out in the fall to plant it. In fact, you can run it by Brother Tom Reeves. If you want to plant a garden, he can generally tell you when the last day that you're able to plant that garden will be if you expect to be able to harvest it. Because the seasons continue. He says, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time for harvest. There's a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. There is a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time of war and a time of peace. He says, what profit hath he that worketh in all wherewith he laboreth? He says, I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And then he says in verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. One of my greatest possessions, a treasured possession, is a beautiful quilt that Sister Ann Patty made. If you've seen these old-time quilts, maybe you have one that your great-grandmother made. If you look at that entire quilt, it's a beautiful piece of work. A lot of those quilts were made with little bitty squares. Some of them bigger. If you just look at one of those little squares, it's not really that meaningful. But if you look at that entire quilt, it's a beautiful piece of handiwork. And it'll bring back some good memories of maybe your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother. But if you look at our life, It's much like that quilt that God designs. If you look at one piece of it, you might get a little bit discouraged. I have a quilt that Sister Rebecca Davis started that everybody in Mount Carmel about 20 years ago did some stitch work on it. I didn't know it. They were doing it behind the scenes. But Brother Polk said, don't look too close at some of those stitches, because he said, I did them. And he said, they're not even. If you look at our life, don't look at it too close. There's some missed stitches. There's some of it that's not real even. There's some of it that's not straight. Some of it that's got some flaws. But you take our life as a whole, and you look how God's pieced it all together. And Solomon says, it's a beautiful sight. It's beautiful in the sight of God. And it's beautiful in the sight of those that are around us. Our life is a gift from God. He says it's got a lot of different pieces to it. It's got a lot of different segments. It's got some joy. It's got some hardship. It's got some difficult times. It's got some good times. It's got some sad times, but it's also got some rejoicing times. It's got some good times. And he says, when you put it all together, it makes this beautiful tapestry that's beautiful in his sight. Did you know that only God can take the pieces like that, can take the scraps like that, can take the leftovers that don't look like they're any good for anything, and make it beautiful in his sight? For everything, there's a time and there's a season. May God bless you.